Stay home and chill, keeping you company during the coronavirus.
Yo, this is Michael Payne, and I host the Michael and Marcel Show on FUBAR Radio every Wednesday from 4 till 6 p.m. Thanks for staying at home. The only thing we want you to catch is a vibe. You're listening to Stay Home and Chill on FUBAR Radio, keeping you company through the coronavirus.
Marcel Somerville and Michael Payne, FUBAR Radio.
We're happy to have you back in the studio.
We are.
For those that don't know, for those that don't recognise the dulcet tones that that are kind of pervaded their front room or office or the toilet cubicle.
You think I've got a distinctive voice?
Huh? Yeah, I think so.
Is it?
Yeah.
I feel unique, you know.
It's of course Jordan Stevens.
Hey.
What's going on? Do you know what? I'm going to be really honest with you. Yeah, because you're my brethren.
Please be honest with me.
Yeah, like. I didn't even check why you were here. I was just like, oh, Jordan's coming. I'm not going to lie to you, bro. It's but like, you coming to check you at work. You're just like, oh, bro, what are you saying?
Yeah. Yo, I messaged Justin at like midday, and it was just like, oh.
I was like, oh, what is today?
You don't understand how important your response was, because that I could have easily just thought this was another day.
Ah, fair play.
Oh, thank God you didn't.
Because I'm very unorganised.
Thank God you didn't say that.
Because the thing is, it turns out it's a very, very worthy and important cause that brings you here today.
Yeah, well, it depends if you think, like, you know, the mental stability of young people in our current climate is important.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and.
Speak for us all here. I think we all.
What do you want me to say? Do you feel I should maybe have one or two podcasts and be on radio more regularly? Is that what
you're
saying?
Yeah, you got a broadcastable voice.
You ever listen to Jeff Bridges' sleep tapes?
No.
No, I'd like to. Oh, jinx. That was weird. I'd like to.
Didn't he do a recreation of the sleeping recently with Yoko Ono? And
yeah, he did. It was Ringo, wasn't it?
Ringo Starr, yeah.
Yeah.
In Times Square.
Jeff Bridges. I saw the.
And Jeff Bridges, which just kind of makes it a weird threesome now. Doesn't it?
Yeah, it does a little
bit. Strange. There were only two of you the first time. But anyway.
The I Am Whole campaign was started by me about 4 years ago because I wrote a song about being depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Although I thought I was writing a song. I thought I was writing a song, basically, about why I feel words that begin with letters with curved edges were weird.
Right.
Listen to me.
I'm seeing
C's and S's.
Right. And O's. I used to have a thing like the band name Oasis used to fuck with me.
Right.
And it was so illogical. I didn't know what it was. It was like say when I decided on Rizzle Kicks as a name, I was just at peace with the fact that it was like rock.
Right.
But then,
it's very curvy.
Harder sounding letters.
Well, not even the sound. It's just what they look like. Anyway, point is, it was made no sense. So I tried to figure it out, and I ended up writing about my own spiral into depression. Anyway, then I met into a mental health campaign through complete beautiful serendipity with a man called Matt Campion.
Mm-hmm.
We pitched it to NHS, blew up. It reached like 130 million people. Mad.
And you promoted it heavily in Brighton, didn't you?
It was supposed to just be in Brighton,
right?
And then it went UK wide, basically. Mm. And I think I've been very lucky to have a team of people around me who have wanted to really push it and not stop. But raising awareness is something that's happened a lot. Mm. There's a lot of conversation happening, and I know particularly for people who are suffering. I think sometimes it can border on frustrating.
Yeah.
Because there's only so much talking, you know, if you're actually going through some shit and then people are going like, oh man, I'm just like wanting people to know that they can talk. It's like, I also want to people who are experienced and understand. Yeah, man.
Because it's had a massive impact on your life, hasn't it?
What, mental health?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, for real. It's still something you got to work with now. You know, it's like it's a day-to-day thing. It's about managing yourself.
Yeah.
I don't believe in normal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I remember, you know, it's a very kind of sort of dark memory to bring up. But when I do think of the kind of the person you are and the experiences we've had together, I realise that it is very
it is very organic and real to you. Yeah. And it's a very honest kind of a vocation, it seems, you know what I mean?
It's a thing of, yeah, it's a tough one to kind of escape, I want to say.
Because the problem is, and escape's an interesting word that you use, because I feel like, and this is the case with everything, right? Woke now is such a fucking brand, it's such a buzzword, isn't it? Yeah. The amount of board meetings that involve the word woke that used to just involve the word sales is mental, right? And it goes towards the whole subject of mental health as well. Should I say it involves the whole subject of mental health as well? And do you feel like some people are kind of raving about it a bit disingenuously? In
what, mental health?
Yeah,
yeah. Well, I think loads of things have been commodified. Even pride.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just love gay people. Like, I don't need you. I don't need to support your brand. Like, it was weird, but also great, I suppose, for there to be an element of support that was like that would create more widespread acknowledgement. But I think that it sometimes does feel disingenuous. But saying that, I think more positively, that's another reason why the charities we're working with feel so exciting, because actually Calm specifically have done a lot of work with young men, and the Mix and YMCA were our initial charity partners. The Mix we're developing all types of stuff with, and I think they are on the ground, isn't it? That's the reality. They're on the ground and
have been for years.
Do you know what I'm saying? But it's something that is so close to my heart, mental health. I think I really want the motion for the next, for going forward, for it to be a thing of just action. So that's where you can move away from disingenuity. Words. That's where you can move towards something more genuine. Is just action. And I think that's the thing where it's like, I want people just to feel that as though they can manage their specific circumstance and just get on with it. Do you know what I mean? There should be no shame in feeling a bit odd. I've got ADHD. I'm on and off medication. It's tough, but as long as I feel like I've managed to create an environment for myself that I feel supported, then that's all that needs to happen.
Yeah.
What about you guys with your mental health?
So we ask the questions here, bro.
No, but I'm asking.
No, I'm not. It's you know, I've always been a supporter of good mental health practices.
Right.
You know
what I mean? Like self-care.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Expressing yourself. I'm a big expressionist, so I think that kind of, if that's your, if you're that way inclined, I think that's always a good way. I don't think you should force yourself to do anything that, like, self-care is important, but I think that there's so many, it's so easy to be led astray by people that think they know what's right for you.
Yeah.
That I think, do you know what I mean? But everyone
that's
takes...
That's a massive thing to say, right? I love that.
Because social media is like, it's the biggest part of 90% of, I don't know the stats, like, but it's the biggest part of most people's lives, let's be brutally honest. And who knows who the PhD holders are or whatever kind of certification you need to be able to actually genuinely tell people what measures they should
be,
you know what I mean, to improve or maintain their own mental health, you know. So people kind of take all this advice and they take it as gospel, and you don't know who's kind of swallowed the wrong pill, so to speak.
Don't you think social media as well hasn't always helped, because people are very quick to say on social media, like, there's no such thing as depression or pull yourself to, or whatever, and
of
kind
course.
Of jump on people
absolutely.
For lots of different situations, and so
you get
in some ways
in so
like,
many different ways
it can be not
I
a good
think
thing.
It's I think social media is like the biggest contributor to rising statistics surrounding
it's literally the gift and the curse, isn't it?
Yeah, and I feel as though, you know, it's one of these things now as well where you don't want to fall into a world where simply because you can label yourself, you almost manifest something.
Yeah,
you know, like, it's easier to maybe be depressed than it is to acknowledge. But this is the real passion of mine, is that naming or being open about how you feel. Depression and anxiety, with a lot of the work I've been doing, like emotional work I've been doing, they're, in my belief, inhibitory emotions, so they're normally covering something else up. So like, you get depressed if you're like super sad or hurt or whatever, and your body just goes, I'm not moving. And anxiety is the thing where it's like your body can't stop moving because you're scared of feeling sad. And it's that, like, it's those emotions I think are at the core of humanity, and that's why I think it's important to at least begin talking, because talking is a catharsis. It is something that can at least move it away. I know when I feel anxious, if I really have a bridge in, you know, I feel like we hadn't spoken in like a couple of months, and I rung you while I was in my car, and I what you might not have known is I felt quite anxious generally about my life on that journey. And after I spoke to you, I felt great. And I think that's what one of those amazing aspects of just speaking.
Yeah.
And then I similarly wouldn't feel a way about being honest with you. Or maybe I even was. Maybe I was honest with you on the phone.
No, you were. You genuinely were. I didn't want to say it because, you know, what's it called?
Oh, God. Google it, Toby.
That. I applied that. So I was like,
that thing. Okay, sorry. God, what's it going to annoy me now? Yeah.
No, but it helps. It helps. And I think that's what we want to get to is the root of these things, the connectivity between people. And hopefully we can live in a space where we are detached actually from the kind of social, technological, like, rope that binds us.
Yeah.
It's a lot, bruv.
Yeah, it is. It's almost I feel like it's almost inextricable sometimes, you know, because it really does mean that you have to. I feel like if you want to kind of unplug yourself from the matrix,
it's hard.
Yeah, you've got to extricate yourself from all the friendships where those people still immerse themselves in it for a few hours a day, you know.
Filmist with Sean Walsh and Mark Simmons on FUBAR Radio.
Here is our guest actor Brennick O'Connor. Hello, Brennick.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
The show's been a bit of a mess, but a bit of a disaster, to be honest, because what happens, we film or record another show, and in between the shows, we go and have a big chicken that we eat, and then it puts us into a bit of a coma. So this might be a bit of a disaster, this interview. I do apologise in advance.
No worries.
Our producer said that she spoke to you at 9:30 this morning, and it clearly woken you, and actually there was a chance that you might have been hungover. Is this true?
Well, I was woken by the phone call, but I wasn't hungover.
Oh!
Did it annoy you?
I was quite groggy.
Why did you take the call so early? Why was that organised for such an early time? 9:30?
No idea.
Oh, right.
So it's our producer's being annoying.
Oh! Next time, just refuse. Don't do 9:30, mate.
Just don't answer.
I feel really bad for waking you up now.
No, not at all. It's all good.
You a football fan yourself?
I'm not, but I am for the World Cup. Every 4 years, I get really into it, and then once that's over, I couldn't care less, really.
Fair enough. That's such a stupid question.
Of course they did.
Brilliant. Now, as we've got you here, what we want to know is if you... we're talking about the first Purge. Have you seen the first Purge?
No, I've not seen any of them. I've been meaning to, but I've not seen them.
Is there anyone you'd kill? Say that. Would you? Because what it is there's a day in the year you're allowed to kill someone, and is that who would you go for? Marx wouldn't kill anyone.
I think
by now would have killed someone eating an apple on a train.
I think Sean, you're the person I'm most likely to push me to the edge.
That's true.
I think if I was going to kill someone, it'd probably be someone I didn't know, like a chance meeting, just so that I wouldn't have to feel the repercussions of it.
Ooh.
Like emotional repercussions. I know there's no lawful thing, but like someone completely.
You
random.
Two are making me feel really bad about killing this bloke on the train with an apple.
I think that's quite bad. Just kill someone random.
I'm just hungry. Come on, let him have his apple.
It's such an annoying noise.
Let him have his apple.
And also, it's such an annoying noise, and it's also healthy, so it's reminding me that I'm not having fruit. So it's making me also feel bad about my own diet.
You actually killed Jon Snow, didn't you? Oh, spoiler.
What are you doing? You spoiler. Can't just say...
Spoiler!
Mate,
oh, no, spoiler!
What the fuck spoiler. Are you doing?
Spoiler, spoiler.
There are
can
people
you say spoiler
that,
afterwards?
Oh, my
if
God.
You haven't, if you haven't watched it yet, you don't deserve to... Like,
okay.
That's ages ago. That's ages ago.
What have you
done? I think the rule for spoilers is once a year has passed, you're allowed to talk about
okay.
it.
OK.
Yes.
So I think we're all safe.
Were you excited when you got told that you were going to do that, or did you know straight away when you took the part?
No, I auditioned for a one-episode appearance.
Oh, wow.
Series 4, and then they wrote me in for 3 years.
Wow.
That's a humble brag, isn't it? That's I was just doing one episode and I was so good. Brilliant. That's amazing.
That's such a big part.
I had no idea what the character was because he's not in the book. He's one of the only few characters, about five characters in the show that aren't in the book.
Oh, so wow.
I could do anything with my character.
That's a good bit of trivia.
I got to the end of series 5. We shoot them in 2-episode blocks, shoot in episodes 7 and 8, and I got the scripts through for 9 and 10.
Oh my God.
And people have been dropping hints that I had a big storyline at the end of series 5, but no one had said anything specific. And as soon as I read it,
that
I sort of went,
insane.
Yeah, wow. I am dying. I am definitely dying at some point soon. So they can let me live after that.
Are you going to watch the final series? Season?
Of course, I'm a huge fan of it. I love the show.
Amazing.
There's so many like, connections to characters.
I actually auditioned for it and I got down to the last two for the. It's a really small part where a bloke is spreading a rumour about Cersei is like telling a story in a pub, and then that big monster bodyguard of hers like cuts his head off.
Got
down to the last two. Got it.
I've had mates who have auditioned for 7 different parts and still not got in. Everyone's desperate to be in it.
Have you ever? I'm not sure you would have been in the same scenes, but I've got a friend called Richard Rycroft. Did you work with him? He's like a maester or something, isn't it? Or would that not have been in the same?
No, I don't think that's my storyline. That's the thing, is because it's such a huge.
Yeah.
I've spoken to like mates of mine, and they're like, "Oh, how's Peter Dinklage?" And I'm like, well, I wouldn't know. I've never met him.
So it's just, so weird, isn't it? You just assume you don't have a...
in Croatia, and I'm filming in Belfast, and then people are filming in, like, it's a beast. That's what the producers refer to it as. It's a massive beast that you need to tame. You need to try and control this massive thing, so you never meet everyone.
That's insane.
Wow.
So, big question for you. Ryan or Ryan? Which Ryan would you sleep with, Gosling or Reynolds?
Reynolds.
Yes! Reynolds always wins.
People love Reynolds.
Reynolds is the boy. He's the boy.
Yeah,
he is, nice. And he's funny, isn't he? As well,
charming.
He'd make you laugh afterwards, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he's more likely to get me there.
Oh, yeah.
Get me into bed. You know what I mean? I need some charm to get me into bed.
And love that film, actually. It's the time of the show where you tell us the film that you love. Actually, it's the guilty pleasure. What have you got?
People seem to hate it, and I don't understand why. Spider-Man 3.
Oh, that is awful!
It's Which one's brilliant. That? Is that with the Octopus Man?
No, it's Which the one where he's, he goes
oh.
emo. He goes.
I don't like that one.
Emo.
Either.
Yeah. Oh, emo Peter is the best with his little Saturday night trot down the high street.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant film.
I'm not sure I even watched it.
And it was the thing that started this whole idea of more than one super villain in a film.
Oh, yeah.
Which unintentionally inspired the MCU, I think, is that this idea that you can take different characters and put them together. So I think it's not given enough credit that it's...
Wow.
Like, it may not be the best film, but it's to blame for the entire Avengers storyline. So
you've really thought about this. Thank you.
I've defended it enough times in my life. Down for watching it.
Great. Oh, well, Brennan, look, thank you for coming on the show. And it just says here on your bio, that I didn't know this, that you can also be found on YouTube covering songs as a singer guitarist.
Really?
Yeah, I've taken some of the ones off YouTube, but I've got my own stuff now on SoundCloud.
Oh, nice!
That out as well, yeah.
Oh, cool. We'll check it out. Thank you, Brennick, for coming on the show, and cheers. Good luck with the film.
Cheers, thanks very much.
Take care, mate.
Thanks, mate. Bye.
Bye.
Richard Herring on FUBAR Radio.
We weren't caught by surprise about that at all, because we were chatting. We were just chatting with our guest today, Brett Goldstein.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hi.
Yeah, that's my posse. You can't join in with the posse.
Oh, it's just I got excited.
You don't clap yourself.
Just excited to be here.
It's just Lucas.
I'm excited.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
We were just talking about Uncle, which I've been enjoying, which you play the kind of villainous sort of rival to... Nick
Do you
Helms
worry
girlfriend?
About getting typecast as the hot one?
I didn't realise I was the hot one, and I thought it was the dick one.
Yeah.
I think I worry I get typecast about the dick one. No, I don't.
No.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Happy to be there.
It's a very funny show.
It's great.
We'll talk about that straight away, but, you know, got anything to say about it?
I'm really pleased with how it's turned out, and I think everyone in it is excellent.
It is. It's a really good cast. It's about a man called Nick Helm, who then has a little nerdy nephew he has to look after. The little boy's very good.
So good.
Everyone's so good.
Daisy's so good. Everyone's so good.
Yeah. I've worked with Daisy, and actually Nicholas, who plays the... There used to be, what's his face in, that thing.
Oh, Nathan Barley.
Nathan Barley.
Yeah,
Nathan
Barley. So good. I tell you, I love was the man who played the dad at the party, the DreamWorks dad.
Yes.
He was good.
That was a good, but that must have happened to someone, whoever wrote it. That must have happened where they went and they're all giving each other DreamWorks-based nicknames. It was very good. So you're a stand-up comedian, for people who don't necessarily know who the hell you are.
Fair enough.
Which, you know, it's not... most people will know now. But you are doing loads of acting. You're also in Derek.
Yeah.
Which I have not seen.
Okay.
How's that been? It's gone quite well.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ricky Gervais.
I liked it.
Ricky Gervais. Lou liked it.
Do you like
I
it?
I liked it. But more importantly, Super Bob, his own film. He's written and he's in.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, let's get to that. Let's stop wasting time.
I was saving that up for later. We've gone through everything. We haven't said anything about any of it.
I've shot to my left. So sorry.
Yeah, Super Bob. So that's it. Is it a sitcom or a
film?
It's a film about a British superhero.
Yeah, he lives in Peckham.
Okay, and that's you, is it?
Mm-hmm.
And you've written it?
Yeah, I co-wrote it.
Wow. And what happens in it?
It's a romantic film. He's got one day off and he's got a date and it's his first date in 6 years and he's terrible around people. The whole pitch was, just because you're the world's greatest surgeon doesn't mean you're good at parties. So he's a very good superhero, he's just not good.
What is his superpower?
He's like Superman, you know, he can fly and he's invincible, but he's shit with women and social scenarios.
Is it based on real life?
Yeah.
Do you have superpowers?
I can't disclose that. But
where do you get your crazy ideas from?
Came from deep inside.
Put your computer on silent. It's making
a stupid
noise.
I've done it. I'm so sorry.
It's very unprofessional, Lou. I'm trying to talk to Brett Goldstein.
Listen, Facebook's gone haywire.
I really like your jumper.
Thank you.
It's not worth talking about on radio, I suppose.
From Twitter.
Yeah.
I did a gig for Twitter.
Okay.
And then they made it for me and put my Twitter handle on
it. So great.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think it looks a bit needy and nerdy and needy, the best kind altogether. We shared a dressing room in Edinburgh.
Yeah, we did
last
every
year.
Day.
Yeah, it was nice to see you every
it's
day.
Really
we,
nice.
And we got a nice little relationship between
That's
each other.
Nice.
I thought about at the end. I thought we'd probably get off with each other.
I thought we were going to have a goodbye snog. Yeah,
but it didn't.
Well, guys, I mean. Like, we've got about half an hour now, and I could get that video off the producer and just do a little video of the two of us snogging, and I think that's what people will want to see.
We'll work up to it. We'll see if we can work up to it.
I'll be in the corner touching myself.
You've done quite a few Edinburgh shows.
I've done lots of Edinburgh shows, but I've only done two solo stand-up shows.
And but they're both done very well. So I suppose your formative experience of growing up
in a strip club, your dad
owned a strip club or ran a strip club.
Yeah, he had a midlife crisis and bought a strip club, and then I ended up running it for a year.
Right.
And that's why he's such a good pole dancer.
Yeah, that's why I can do some wicked tricks
in Marbella.
In Marbella, yeah.
Wow. And you're about 18 or so.
19, 20.
That must have been pretty exciting times.
It was exciting and very damaging.
Was it similar to Russell Brand's dad took him to like a prostitute, basically, when he was 16?
I wish I'd come out as prolific as him.
And so, and his dad paid for him to lose his virginity, and I think we did it basically side by side.
Yeah.
That's a bit weird.
Yeah, no, we didn't do...
Didn't go that far.
We didn't do that. Together, as far as I remember, but I've definitely had a lap dance next to him.
Have you?
And that's weird. Having a lap dance next to anyone's weird, let alone your dad.
Yeah.
I once went to a. Already, I'm regretting.
Then this is what we like to hear.
I went to Las Vegas once and had a proper weird experience. But what happened? I got invited to a bachelor party. And what was so surreal about this bachelor party is it was in a hotel room and there was sort of a thing going on, a sort of strip show going on in the middle of a lounge.
Mm-hmm.
And around it was just a load of men in chairs, but it was all family because it was a bachelor party. So it was sort of like, you know, uncles and nephews and fathers and sons.
Yeah.
Very nice people. And these girls were sort of dancing and doing stuff. And it was so surreal because it was so casual.
Mm.
And it was just brightly lit. It was just in a hotel. And I was thinking, this is the weirdest thing that's ever happened. And we walked in, we didn't know, we were very uncomfortable, me and my friend. And I was like, this seems very odd. And we sat down on these chairs, and a man, a much older man, with a beer in his hand, just watching this thing, we sit down. He
that
leans,
is a piece of theatre.
Yeah, and he leans towards me and he goes, what's the real estate like in London?
No.
Just having a chat. Father's just having a chat. Couple of girls doing stuff. Weirdest.
It's poor girls, because you don't know how to pitch yourself to a mixed market. You know? I've done comedy at a wedding, and I imagine it's a similar thing.
Yeah, it's a very similar feel.
Really
all the different generations. I mean, the young ones will like spunk on their face and stuff, but the older ones will think, what is going on here?
I mean, do I les up, or are the older people against homosexuality?
Yeah.
I've always found that I've been very uncomfortable whenever I've been placed in a situation where women have been taking their clothes off in that scenario. In fact, I think I was... Stuart Lee, funnily enough, took me to about the only strip club I've ever been to, which
was when he discovered
when we were in Edinburgh. It was like, but I think he was enjoying the. It was like a real working man's pub where a woman would. It was really horrendous.
It's really depressing.
Like, and they would pass a glass around, and a girl would sort of strip. I can't even remember. I don't think I could watch it. It was too.
Yeah.
But I think he enjoyed the spectacle of everything other than the woman taking. Yeah. Coffee. Although, you know, it's Stuart Lee. He enjoys it. Really, just pretends. But you know, when you go to like abroad with comedians, and when I did Adelaide, our theatre was in the red light district in Adelaide, and all the other comedians were sort of going to strip clubs, and I just found it too.
It's I don't know where to look. Yeah. It's because you've got
tits and ass.
Well, you've got sort of ideals in your head, and you're thinking. I just overthink everything, and the girl is, you know, she doing her job, but I'm thinking, don't look at her breasts, look her in the eyes, ask her questions. But she's not interested in a chat. No. Just wants to.
I found it so horrible, so depressing. Like I did my dissertation on that. From the point of a voyeur, why men and women like watch in different ways, because women go to strip clubs with their friends and it's more of a laugh and stuff, and the man still has the power in a way, because I interviewed loads of strippers for my research guys and they were sort of they were loving getting blowjobs and stuff, and they were going I always get a couple of blowjobs every night, and it's
hang on, what?
It's just broken, damaged people, men and women,
at the strip club.
Yeah, so that, like Raymond Review Bar. Okay. Women will go and watch men, and then afterwards the men, like, they want to be celebrities. So one home was doing a documentary with Channel 4, and they all want to be like, and it's an ego thing, and then they get their dicks like touched and stuff by the ladies, and that's what they're kind of in the game for, money and sex.
Who, the dancers or the men?
The men dancers. The men dancers.
Oh, male dancers.
But the power is different balance, and it's all quite depressing, and it's all just broken people, really.
But as this is FUBAR, which apparently is for 18 to 35-year-olds, for men, I just have to go, what, women? That's enough feminism to discuss.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
You ran a strip club. I think you're similarly conflicted to me. I just worry about the human being exploited.
Yeah.
So if you're running this, that must have been a bit more conflicting to be running.
Very
the strip
conflicting.
Club.
But at the end of the day, I didn't. It's far too complicated. But I end up feeling sorry for everyone, men and women, and. The thing that I was worried about, like, are the girls all right? Is everyone be? They're much, much stronger than anyone else in that room. They were the least damaged. The people coming in every night are the, you know, the ones that have really got many.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, listen, everyone's.
Their wives don't understand.
I don't know. Can I swear on this show?
You can say anything. You can say cunt if you like. You can say motherfucker. Cunt. I don't know about the. I mean, I don't know about the racial epithets. Okay. I prefer you not to use those.
That's fine.
But that's completely uncensored. So you do what you like, whatever you feel.
Well, you put it in my head now.
So, but it was the show was about that and about your various. I mean, it was about you nearly having a threesome.
The new show.
Yeah, yeah.
I said the new show is about porn. Yeah. So I did the first show was about strip clubs. Yeah. The second one is about porn.
Well, it looks like both of us are just touching each other's dicks now. Anyway, metaphorically. So
that's what the people need.
Was quite
give the people
enough.
What they want.
Carl Donnelly and Chris Martin on FUBAR Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the very funny, very talented Miss Roisin Conaty.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello.
I'm assuming it's still Miss. I've only been away 4.5 weeks. You haven't got married in that time?
I haven't got married. Okay, no. Cool.
That would be great news.
But you know.
Never know.
Don't know what that means. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, I might go back in time and change it.
The people who don't know you, Roisin, you've been in Impractical Jokers on BBC Three. Yes. Man Down, Have I Got News For You? Anything else? Just various comedy.
I'm a comedian.
Comedian?
I'm a comedian, I do a bit of acting.
Yeah.
I'm a comedian.
What percentage of each these days?
Well, I try and make sure I have a 70-30 ratio. Comedianism. Comedianism.
Yeah, that's what it's called these days.
And actor in about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good ratio.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep.
Is it?
Mm.
Why?
I don't know, I'm really just making this up as I go along.
Well, that's pretty much what we've been doing for an hour and 5 minutes.
I'd say I'm 60% comedian, 20% radio personality, 10% podcaster, and 10% nice guy.
Ah, I'm 90% comedian, 10% ledge. Yeah. So that's me.
This is the best game ever. I want to remind. I didn't know I could add other things in other than.
Oh yeah, you can
comedian.
Add. Of course you can. Now,
also, I would definitely say, I'd say I'm 20% of greatness.
Yeah, of course. On top of the 100%. That's how great you are.
I'm trying to top your ledge.
You're 120% person. We've got a little thing we were going to get you to do. You might have heard. Basically, we like getting guests to do a really banal tweet and see what effect it has on their listeners. Their followers. So okay. Basically, if you do a really banal tweet, sometimes you might lose a couple of followers, but if they're going to ditch you for that, you know, they're casualties of war. Some might retweet it, which says more about them than anything. So are you all right to do this? We've had people sending in messages.
Okay, as long as it's not offensive.
No, not always. The opposite.
I lose
really
followers
banal.
Every time I tweet anyway, so it's just another day for me.
I like some people, like the comedians who some people may know, is a comedian magician called Pete Furman. Whenever he lost followers, he just assumed it was like a spam bot that it was gone. He's like, no, that's just because you're boring.
Yeah, that is different. My favourite so far is... from Dom in Crawley, which is, he just says you should tweet. I've just thought, tweets are like thinking out loud, aren't they? Which is so bad.
Is that one?
How does that make you feel?
But the thing is...
We don't want to pick one that like, makes you feel sick inside.
That sort of makes me feel it because I've had stand-up not dissimilar.
You've heard?
When Twitter first came out, I had stand-up about Twitter, and I worried that someone might think that was my Twitter joke. Joke was quite good.
How about this? Just made a smoothie. They somehow seem more smooth when you include a banana.
Yeah,
that's pretty boring.
That's
all right. So
there's managed to clean part of my desk off today. Been a while since I've seen this much space on my desk. that's rubbish.
I mean, that's a conversation start. I'm going to get a lot of replies to
that. Okay, the banana one is probably a bit. Yeah. Then you've got. Hello, Twitter. Where have you been for the past 794 years? Which I really like that as well. It's just weird.
Is that again part of
the whole lot of it is just making me feel
okay.
Sick.
We'll do one that isn't Twitter-based. How about Emmerdale used to be called Emmerdale Farm? Who knew?
I think smoothie. Emmerdale Farm is... No, that's not a bad... I'll be honest with you. It's not a bad tweet.
The Emmerdale Farm one?
Yeah.
I suppose because you're going to have young followers who don't actually know that.
No, I didn't know that.
No, it should be Emmerdale Farm.
No idea. So yeah. I would have been my favourite.
Yeah, I didn't know that. And EastEnders yes, used to be called EastEnders
come off
shop.
EastEnders town.
Stumbled.
Yeah. No. Yeah, no, everyone knew Emmerdale Farm. It's only changed, 15, 20 years ago?
Well, not everyone.
How old am I?
I'm 2 years older than you, so yeah. I'd have been... you were watching Emmerdale Farm at 14, 12?
No, when I was from younger, I was a big fan. No, I wasn't at all. I just remember it coming on and it saying Emmerdale Farm at the end of the credits.
Is that do-do-do-do, do-do-do-do, do-do-do-do? That's Emmerdale,
right?
That sounds like Highway to Heaven. Do you remember that? Yeah, that's
great.
A reference that no one will get.
Great reference.
It's a good reference for anyone that's over...
What was it? I didn't get
Highway
it.
To Heaven.
The dad from...
don't know what you're talking about.
The Prairie. A Little House on the Prairie.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, you would have this. So do you want to go for the banana one?
I think the banana one,
we've just lost a lot of 16-year-old listeners.
Yeah, they're like, Highway to Heaven. So you got a tweet. Just made a smoothie. They somehow seem more smooth when you include a banana.
So I'm doing this now, live.
You're doing it live. Now. And at the end of the hour, we're gonna sort of find out what your Twitter followers have made of that.
Okay, I don't know how many Twitter followers I've got.
Well, I checked. Over 20,000. Might be 21,000.
Now, we'll check the exact numbers. Go on your Twitter. Come on.
Okay.
See, this is... I looked at her phone and I can't understand people like this. She has 86 unread text messages.
Unacceptable.
How do you live like that? What are you doing that means you can't read them?
Because I think I've read them.
So you think, but then it wouldn't do that.
No, yeah. But the only way you can explain it is they're all such short ones, they only cover a line.
Yeah.
So it's like, who's just writing short text to you? So,
well, you know.
21,830.
But my phone, I think I might have more because the phone doesn't update as much, does it?
I think you're conning yourself.
Yeah,
I think I've got 400,000. Yeah.
It doesn't update to the fact that
okay,
I've got
a million. Okay, tell me, word for word.
Just made a smoothie.
This feels like a hostage situation.
I think it's slightly...
just made a smoothie.
Belittling what it's like to be a hostage.
They somehow seem more smooth when you include a banana.
Captain Phillips would have been a lot less entertaining if this was it.
They somehow...
seem more smooth when you include a banana. Why do I keep going into a real radio voice when I say that? They somehow include more smooth
I can't believe
when
this
you
is
include
happening.
A banana.
Can't believe this happening.
So yeah, if you
how
tweet
do you spell
that,
banana? B-A-N-A-N-A.
No, no, double one, one
N. There's only two N's in the whole thing.
Okay, there we go.
Right, chill out, mate. Yeah. Emma Del Palme.
Still upset about the whole 83 unread text.
Granddad. Yeah. Yeah.
Just read a smoothie. They somehow seem more smooth when you include a banana. Is it an exclamation mark or just full stop?
Just, there's no punctuation at all.
Yeah, yeah, no. Leave it hanging.
Just going to get me killed.
Some arsehole will go, why is there no full stop in
it? Yeah. It's tweeted. Done. Here we go.
Right, exactly. So we'll come back to that.
That ship
later
has been
on.
Launched.
What about the text? Are you one of these people that does that thing of just lying and saying, oh, I only just seen your text after 2 weeks?
No, I don't see them all. I don't.
That's because you've got 83 unread. If you read them all, like, when you saw one unread, you just know, I need to read this.
I'm not nicking your phone, but like, on mine, look at that, right? There's no little, I've got one little thing as a signal, but no, you've got
so many numbers.
Look at that,
everywhere.
Mate.
Can I have a look? I can't
no,
see
this
from
is,
over
this
here.
Is unexcusable, right? On the phone. Guess how many voicemails are unlistened to?
How many?
296.
Oh, come on, Roisin.
How does that not annoy you being there?
This is unacceptable.
I don't know, what
behavior.
Do you mean?
Like that number, it's like the red number going. Is it, do you like.
I just thought it's about the
phone. At times of feeling lonely, do you look down and go, yeah, I've got. That's in the bank.
No, I just think. I just don't worry about it. I think no one. It's not anyone. Anyone who needs me will phone again. I phone people back. I do. I'm quite bad with it. I can't justify it. I don't know. I'm not wired right. In that no. respect, to get directly back.
Do you update apps? Is that another thing? Because that's one thing. I'm a bit anal about that thing. When it's all these ones and stuff on your apps saying,
yeah, the
update.
Ones. When the ones are there, I need to get rid of the ones. The red one. Yeah. Get rid of that red one.
The red
one.
You're like.
It's like a target on my head by an assassin. Yeah, yeah. Get out of the way of it.
No, I don't update anything. Update apps. I don't know. I'm not very. I'm just not very. But it does frustrate me. I want to be because I've got like 55,000 unread emails on my Google Mail.
Crazy.
And but a lot of them are like sales. You know, like they're not like it's not like people going. You know, it's not like mate saying, "Hey, I'm in a well." Yeah. It's like, you know,
sort of. I'd probably go for a phone call if I was in a well rather than dropping somebody an email.
They've tried 86 voicemails.
I don't want to stress them out. Yeah. Give them a bit of time to like let it sink in before they come up with a plan. So anyway, do you know what I watched? A film. Sorry,
go
to
on.
Quickly go off tangent. I watched a film called The Internship on the plane the day before yesterday, which is. It's like a follow-up to The Wedding Crashers. It's got Owen Wilson, Vince Vaughn.
Oh, yeah.
And it's about them being unemployed, you know, mid-40s, and they get an internship at Google. And it's basically the whole film is just an advert for Google. I've never seen anything like it. The whole film is set in the Google offices.
Tell you what, if there's one company that needs
bizarre.
To be about,
yeah.
needs
yeah.
advertising, it's Google.
It must
it?
Have yeah. been funded by Google, because like, it's set there, and it's all about how great... It's bizarre. One of the strangest
Thing
films.
Is, it must be really hard to get information on Google.
About
them. Because you can't Google Google.
You can Google
can
Google.
You?
Yeah, totally.
But it's just from their point of view.
You want to keep Googling, and then you just end up, I imagine you just end up in space.
Yeah, that's how it works.
The well just implodes. Yeah.
You end up in a well. You end up in a well
it's
texting.
It's like when you look in a mirror and say, candy map. You Googled Google. Brett Goldstein's calling me.
Well, 297 voicemails unread.
So you were just criticising Chris for having anxieties of a 50-year-old woman.
He just, it's not even, yeah, he's just got, he doesn't, he's, the look of him doesn't match the anxiety.
Oh, not at
him.
All. You look like a real lad.
I'm a walking paradox. Guys.
Absolutely. The way you react to any documentary is like nothing I've ever seen. It's for anyone, basically people who don't know Chris, he is, how old are you now? 27 now.
27.
but you watch documentaries and react like my mum, who yeah. is a 65-year-old woman, yeah. and just believe that yeah. that food is definitely going
to
kill
well,
you.
Well, this is my argument. Like, obviously it's true, because why would you go to the effort of filming it and spending so much money on a production of something that's a lie?
It might not be a lie, they might believe it, but it's not, everyone's not right, isn't it?
Chris texted me last night at midnight saying, do you want a wake-up call?
Yeah.
12:45.
From anyone else would have sounded a bit dirty, but,
yeah. No, it was pure panic.
Yeah, from
and
Chris
this morning,
it just sounds really nervous.
And then he did like a sake, I tweeted, and then he did a sake, you're up!
Oh.
Like a mum thing, like yeah. a genuine.
That
like,
wasn't sarcastic, that was celebratory.
Relief.
That was relief. You're up! Yay!
So we've just had a little update on your followers from
yes.
that tweet. You've lost two so far. Two people have jumped ship.
It's ain't a good day for me, is it?
It's a good day. You got if they're fair weather supporters,
she
get
got,
rid.
She got two favourites, though.
Oh, really?
From Helen, Oxborough, and James.
They like it. They like the smoothie comment.
They're just being supportive. I think it's bad. We're like outing people. It's like tricking people into.
Being,
I'm sure they'll just
be
like.
Yeah, and maybe we're saying they're nice.
Yeah.
I think personally,
I don't think we should judge people if they're just like favourite. Some
do.
People might.
I judge all of them. Anyone, anyone who favourites a really bad tweet, I don't. They're done for me.
You're hot. India's made you worse.
I'm joking. I've actually chilled out a lot. I think I've.
Oh yeah, have you? Really?
Centre.
By all means, shit on the pavement, but do not favourite a boring tweet.
I think that's the problem. I think we need. India's got it locked down. They know what's going on. Your proper worries and like things, isn't it?
Yeah.
Come back in, you realise that people are getting stressed about all sorts of nonsense.
Yeah.
That's what I think I'll take away from India. Yeah, guys.
That's what everyone who goes travelling does. They go over to places that are poor.
But what they do.
And then come back, oh, now I can appreciate my own life. Now I've seen the horror of other worlds.
Right, and then 2 days later, you get annoyed at 3G reception.
Yeah. It's like you can't, it doesn't last.
Oh, no, not at all. I don't believe in that whole finding yourself thing. I just think what you do is just find other people that
are worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or better. Either way, you see.
You don't want to find people that are better than you, mate. It's hard. It's exhausting.
I met loads of them. Me and my friend Richard Mills, I went to India with, and he's still out there. He's currently in Rajasthan on his own, which I think he'll really be enjoying. Have you ever spent a month just with one person?
Yeah.
It's really long.
It's a really good way. Despite you saying I'm a 50-year-old woman, I am a big fan of winding people up. Oh. So my friend Charlie, who I was with for about 3.5 months when I was 18, just got a really easy way. It's so easy to wind up as well. My best was when he told me at lunch in Thailand he was going to have an orange juice and a pad thai. I went, oh, all right. And then it was my turn to order first. I went, I'll have an orange juice and a pad thai. And then Charlie goes, I'll have an orange juice and a pad thai. And I went, copycat, like that.
And he just
lost his mind.
That's the thing. You do get short tempered with each other when you spend a month together. Like, yeah. You can be the best friends, but any little thing will just like wind you up. Like, oh, yeah. That's right, yeah. So you take an extra 5 minutes getting out your room.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club on FUBAR Radio.
We're back! We're back in the studio. Here's me, I'm Nick Helm, and I'm joined with
Nathaniel Metcalf.
And we're joined in the studio live, directly from our own homes, by the man who needs no introduction, Mr. Johnny Vegas! Hello!
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
I'm all right, yeah. You're right. I've just asked that. I'm sorry, I'm nervous. Yeah, it's good.
You don't do nervous.
Nah, not really. It's all an act. Have you met Nat before?
No, very briefly, your gig. But that was it, I think. At your gig at Christmas, was it?
2 years ago, yeah.
What, next gig?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but that...
Yeah, no, it got
a bit messy, so I'm allowed to sort of... did I get messy? Probably.
It's called Fuckfest, so, I mean, it's meant to get messy. Do you know what? You were on brand. It's absolutely fine. We were grateful that you turned up. How have you been in lockdown?
All right. It's been weird, and it's an hard one to talk about, because you sound like you're being sort of really self-righteous, but... For a lot of it, at the start of it, I was out delivering with the Steve Prescott Foundation. So it was just like having a nice job that was outside the social, you know, the sort of showbiz bubble. So I was doing that and the PPE sourcing and everything else. So I really only feel like I've done, everything's wound down now. So I feel like I've done 2 weeks of normal lockdown.
Was that because you're at a loose end? Did it just feel like you wanted something to do as well?
Yeah, yeah. It was, and I keep saying this, but I've got a 16-year-old who honestly, he just developed a look of, you know that kid at the end of The Boys from Brazil? I was just like, oh, thank God we don't have Dobermans because he'd set them on me. He started to look a bit evil. you know, just the two of us in lockdown together.
Sure.
He's gone back to his mum's now. So, yeah, it was...
So you literally did...
So 2 weeks of it did my head in. Once I didn't have anything to do. But I have... The house is a mess, and I have been doing, like, loads of work around the house that's been outstanding, because I'd never get this amount of time back in St. Helens again, so...
So you've done some outstanding DIY?
I have, mate. I'll tell you what, later on, if you look at it, I'll show you where I've hung my chopper.
I've
put a ceiling mounted bike rack up, and I quite like it. I think I've not done a bad job, and I've been putting loads of pictures up and stuff around the place.
So are you cycling?
All this has got mounted since lockdown.
Oh right. Oh yeah. Well, like I put up a shelf yesterday. this shelf here.
Okay.
And
oh, that would do you.
I put up some shelves with my dad yesterday up there. Yeah, I've done loads of DIY. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's outstanding.
Did he help you, or did he just like stand back in that disapproving? What have I raised?
No, he's a control freak, so I would actually have to sort of like fight him off so that I could actually do any of it. But he's in his mid 70s, so it's just like there's a lot of guilt involved by just standing back and watching your dad put your shelves up for you. It was a difficult job as well, because the angle of the shelves that we took down that we also put up was so off that just stuff kept rolling off them. Anyway, we've nailed it. Well, we screwed it, but like we nailed it. You'll have to come around and look at my shelves one day.
They this is what fantastic. I've got architrailing, and it isn't. It runs at a funny angle, so either the picture looks off. If I run it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
On there, it looks right from there, but it doesn't look right next to another object.
Yeah.
Turning me apart with my OCD tendencies.
But my walls aren't even. So you put something flat against the wall, and the wall is sort of like bulging in and out. It's just absolutely crazy. I don't know. This is why you get other people in to do it, and you pay them good money to make it look right. But, you know, in these COVID times, you've just got to sort of do it yourself, I suppose. And that's what I've been making the most. Don't worry about me and my shelves, Johnny. I've been making the most out of it.
No, listen. Okay, we might not be making BAFTA-winning radio here, but I think it's stuff that needs to be discussed. Let's get it off our chests.
We're just getting warmed up, mate. We're just getting warmed up.
Well, it is a big like obsession, isn't it? It's like what you put in the background. I'm really impressed with that. Just going for the bird room where he's like, you've gone for the Terry Waite. I hadn't seen your other hand then, and I thought you were chained to a radiator.
I'm trying not to reveal anything about myself.
Well, there's Nick's going, oh, what best, you know, says, who am I? Three guitars in background, a thermometer. Is that a thermometer on the wall?
It's a thermometer. The worst thing about that, though, is it's an anal thermometer. I mean...
How old are you?
Well, my dad used to have one of them on the wall.
Yeah, but, all right.
You're like one of my favourite comics.
Well, thank you very much.
I would imagine them being very open to your unique and very entertaining style of anarchy.
I did a gig at Just the Tonic Nottingham once. I've also had good gigs at Just the Tonic. I did a gig at Just the Tonic Nottingham once where I was in the... I came off stage and I was in the green room and everyone was just chatting to me in the green room for ages and ages and ages. I couldn't quite work out why I wasn't allowed to leave the green room. And it turned out there were people waiting to beat me up outside. They didn't want to worry me about it. They were just like, oh, yeah, so what are you... Have you booked into your hotel yet, Nick? And it was just like, this is very small talky. They were just hiding me from the truth, which is they hated me.
I did a corporate like that years ago. And I hate corporate, you know what I mean? The corporate gigs is like, we're paying you enough to ignore you. And I hadn't done any TV, so I wasn't known. And it was Microsoft, it was massive. They had 7,000 employees. They got them all hammered. You know the bit we go, oh, just give them a fancy dress do and let them cop off with each other. They had the potter's wheel, and they had this guy, and he was a proper classic, like, hey, do 15, you know, but... do 25, that'd be super. Squeeze 40 out of them, we'll be friends forever. And literally, and you know them gigs where you haven't messed up? It's not like I went out and...
That's every bad gig I've ever had. Every bad gig I've ever had is not my fault.
Oh, no, and I hold my hands up to the ones that are my fault.
No, I am officially saying right here and right now that I am not responsible for any bad gig I have ever had. It's always their fault. I'm not one of them comedians that says it's your fault if the audience don't like you. It's their fault.
Well, you know what you've got, don't you?
What?
5 years in and still an open spot of Titus.
I don't know what that means!
Well, when you get these open spots, and they're still open spots 5 years down the line, and when they're brilliant, they were genius, and when they're bad, the audience was shit.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I'm saying, but I don't know what that means in terms of me being an open spot. In so many words, you've nailed what I meant.
Well, I was 3 minutes into this gig that he wanted me to try and squeeze 40 out of him with me caps round my ankles on a potter's wheel singing Love on the Rocks. And he just walked across me on the stage. They had barriers. There were people wanting to kill me. And he just walked past and did that to the DJ, the music cut. I pulled my pants up, I left the stage, realised I'd left my jacket, and they thought I was trying to do an encore.
Here's why would what's the
pushing
point?
The barriers over to get to me, and I was like, I just want my coat.
It just never feels like they would want a comedian in any of those situations.
No.
It's like, why put some music on, put a band on?
They'd been drinking since lunchtime. Do you know what I mean? It was 8 at night. Nobody knew who I was. It was like one PR guy. Well, I got my phone back because I wasn't dressing, but my mate, my tech, Jets, had gone round and got as much free booze as he could fit in his bag. And I played it out like that. I thought the gig had gone really well. So this PR rep came in going, ooh. And I'm like, well, that was great, wasn't it? You know, any reaction's a good reaction. And they sent their boss it. Anyway, long story short, I was in me agents going, right, are we suing Microsoft? They don't want to pay us. And their argument was, I was drunk. And I went, no, I play really good drunk. And they went, no, he was really drunk. And you go, we'll prove it. But your employees were a bit overreacting, you know what I mean? It was literally, I hadn't even got to the mic and I was being told to F off.
Yeah.
It makes it worse that it's Microsoft because they can't even be like, we haven't really got the money.
Yeah, I know. You're going, I want to. And I think basically, whichever PR company set it up, it was Game of Thrones. Somebody's head would have to roll.
For
booking us.
Those corporate gigs, I always find like the further you have to travel for them, the worse they are. I did a corporate gig. It was in the Midlands, and it was with Josh Widdicombe and Milton Jones, and we were meant to be on at 9, but we ended up going on at about 11, and they were hammered. And I'd just done a pilot for Heavy Entertainment. And so what I did was I took all my costume from Heavy Entertainment and I did all the material from the pilot of Heavy Entertainment, which got commissioned by the BBC. So I knew it worked. And so I had like this tearaway stripper trousers, tearaway stripper top. And I did sort of like 2 songs. I did some poems. I did one-liners. I did some stories. It's 20 minutes. Josh goes out. They've been drinking for about 12 hours. Josh goes out, they just start booing him and talking over him and everything. And you go, well, they're too drunk for comedy, but Josh is doing mainstream stuff. And then I go out and they just hate me and they take everything that's ironic at face value.
Yeah.
They're booing me, shouting at me, holding up like the flyers saying, this says 4 stars on the flyers. And I don't know why they put our reviews in the fucking audience. So this says 4 stars on the flyers. This is 1 star. This is absolutely appalling, right? They were like all entitled, all shouting at me, and it was horrible. And there was a moment just before I had to do my stripper trousers and get down to my pants that I thought, should I or shouldn't I? And I thought, well, this might change the gig for me. They might love me. So I had like this might be the thing that saves the gig. So I just tore away my stripper trousers and took off my top. And I was just in my pants and cowboy boots on the stage. And they just went mental. They were just like, you're disgusting! You're disgusting! One man sort of like, he went, aah! And he got up and he ran out of the room, right? And it was just like, I've done this on BBC Three. What are any of you doing? This is absolutely insane.
Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
We got Georgia waiting.
I think we have.
Oh, let's speak to Mrs. Casolo.
Hello.
Hello, Georgia, all right, babe?
I'm all good, thank you. I'm in a hoodie, right? So I look really professional. And then I've got my pyjamas on underneath. Because...
I love it. Got to be done. It's a lucky day, Joel, isn't it? If you're only in a tracksuit or pyjamas.
Yeah, I've had that. I've been up since 4:30, guys.
Why?
I woke up at 4:30 with, like, my head thinking, oh, my God, I need to do so much stuff. You know, all the things you haven't done. That was going through my mind at 4:30 this morning. I got up. Tommy was like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I've got to get up. I'm knackered."
Oh, well, pleasure. you've only got 10, 15 minutes with us, and then you can get yourself to bed. So nothing to worry about. How are you doing? Obviously, big news for you and Tommy, right? last couple of months. how is the pregnancy going on?
Yeah, really good, thank you. I mean, the first 12 weeks, I was obviously filming the series of Towie 6 days a week, and no one knew. Literally, like, no producers. So that was really difficult because I'm never late and I kept turning up late and everyone was really confused. And I was just really sick.
Like, oh, she's a diva now. Oh,
yeah. They were literally like, honestly, they probably kept getting young with me. And I was like, I'm never late. And I had to keep making a thing about it. Like, are you joking? I've done 7 years and I'm never late. Are you joking? But now I feel fine. Like, now I don't even feel pregnant. Like, I just feel normal. So that's good.
So how far gone are you?
I am 22 weeks, I think.
4, 8, 12, 16, 20. So about 5.5 months.
Yeah, I keep getting confused with the weeks. It's really confusing. And today's a really good day, guys, because, Bob, you know how much I love my tea?
Yeah, oh, she's like the queen of tea. She loves a cup of tea, don't you?
Right.
Only PG tips, like, I'm really fussy, right? I just said it in my story. I'd gone off tea, like...
No.
So when I got pregnant... It was so upsetting for me because I love tea and I was genuinely upset about it. Well, today I've had 3 cups of tea.
Oh,
yes.
Love it. Tastes such a good day, guys. I'm so happy.
I mean, loves tea to the point that I've sat with her around a pool in Marbella and she will order a pot of tea, even in Marbs.
in the hot weather.
Yeah.
She loves it.
Tea's my go to drink and today we've been reunited and I'm so happy.
Have you been suffering for anything? I mean, I've never been pregnant. Exclusive.
Still time, Bob.
Fingers crossed. So I'm not quite as sure time-wise how it works or if everyone's slightly different, but do you get morning sickness, George, or have you kind of passed that?
Well, the first 12 weeks, it was literally like all-day sickness. Like, you see that morning sickness thing? That's a lie. it's a lie. The only way I can describe it is feeling hungover every day.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
Like, and Bob, I was filming 6 days a week.
So I bet it, did you start finding it hard in the end? Did you really struggle?
I struggled with filming last series. I was like, I just needed to leave. Like, and no one was understanding when I was getting to filming. I was like, where is everyone? And I was like, I'm starving. And I was like, always eating McDonald's. I love McDonald's. But I was like, I remember turning up to that Chelmsford place, Bob. And you're always on time. Bobby's always on time to film him. Right. He's always there early. But I'm always on time as well. And I remember getting there and I was like, where is everyone? I'm starving. This is not good. And I was like, Tommy, take me McDonald's. And they were like, whoa, like, you're right. And I was like, I need food. Now! And I literally, when I mean I'm hungry and I have to eat now, I have to eat now. Like, it's no half an hour waiting till the scene's finished. No. I needed a double cheeseburger right now. So that was the series last
But moving forward, how do you think you're going to find, obviously, with a new series of Towie starting in the not-too-distant future, are you going to be partaking in that series, or...?
Yeah. So I'm going to be filming... which is good. I'm going to do as long as I can because obviously we're going to be filming the whole, like, a long time, ain't we? And obviously by the time you all finish filming, I'll probably be giving birth. So I'm not going to be filming until that point.
You're huffing and puffing, walking around.
Yeah. I don't really want to be in the sugar heart and my water break.
Great TV if it does.
It'd be great. But yeah, so I'll probably film as much as I can. Like, but I'm going to be, you know, as soon as you start filming, I'll be filming. I'll just be bigger.
How's Tommy dealing with it all? Is he super excited? Is he nervous? What's the deal?
Yeah, he's just so excited. Like, we're just both... I've got a bump, like, I don't feel... But I think it's because we're in lockdown. It doesn't feel real yet, you know? Like, it does feel real, but it doesn't, like... I think until we're out of lockdown and we start filming and, you know, I'm out and about, I think that's when I'll really feel pregnant. But right now, it just feels normal, like I'm in lockdown, you know?
Have you been? Have you had to do like any of your appointments and stuff by yourself, or has he been able to go with you and that?
Do you know what? I've been really lucky. Like Tommy's been able to do a lot with me because I've like missed the lockdowns. So you know, like my
appointment in between.
There's only a couple I've done my own, but I wouldn't take him in anyway. You know, like just midwife stuff. But yeah, I've been really lucky because I really feel for them women out there that are doing all them first scans on their own because it's scary. Like it's really mad time, and I do think the partner should be allowed in. Like you've made the baby with that person, but obviously I understand we have to protect the NHS and stuff. So if they said to me I couldn't have him in, obviously I'd be gutted. But I get it. It's just one of them things. It's a shame because you want to experience everything with your partner, but at the same time, it's like you've got to protect people. So,
George, I've got to ask: have you and Tom found out what you're having?
Yes. Yes.
I was so excited.
We knew really early. We did like a private test, but we're going to do an announcement soon. I'm not too sure when. I did tease. I asked the other day because I realised I hadn't done it. And I was like, oh my God. So I'm going to do it. I'm just figuring out what to do, but I'm going to make it nice.
Are you going to do it? Is it going to be a social media thing?
I think, yeah. I just don't know. I want to involve Monkey. That's the thing. So I need to work it out.
I love that. Do you mind if I guess what you're having? Because you know I'm a bit of a witchy boy.
Go on.
I think you're having a little boy.
Do you?
I thought.
Stay home and chill, keeping you company during the coronavirus.